Good morning, church. Hear God's word. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, 'I am going away, and I am coming back to you.' If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold over me, but he comes so that the world may learn that I love the Father and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Anthony, for reading for us. Before we get into God's word, I've got to say, I need to foreshadow that normally I would love to stay and hang around after the service, but I've got a church lunch to go to back at my other church, so therefore I won't be able to stay too long, but I usually want to welcome questions if you do have after the service, but it will be quite limited today. So I'll just foreshadow that before we start. It'd be great to pray and ask for God's help as we look at God's word together. So would you please join me as I pray? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us your word. And we pray that as we reflect on the work of your Spirit in our lives, we pray that you help us understand what your word is saying to us. And we pray that your word will be a great delight and comfort to us this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask you, have you ever felt left behind to fend for yourself? Maybe it was that first day of kindy when your parent let go of your hand, or it could be that first day of uni when you got onto campus and you realized you knew no one. Or it could be that moment where a loved one passed away and you felt a profound sense of loneliness. That feeling of being abandoned, vulnerable, unsure of whether you're going to make it. I reckon that's actually one of the deepest human fears that we can have. And that's exactly what the disciples in John chapter 14 were feeling. The context of where we are up to in John's gospel here is that Jesus and his disciples are in the upper room on the night before Jesus died. And at this point, the room is thick with tension. Jesus, after washing his disciples' feet, Jesus predicted Judas's betrayal. He then predicted Peter's denial. And then he drops the bombshell. He says the words, "I am going away." Well, at this point, the world of the disciples here is collapsing. Their teacher, their protector, their friend, the one who gave them purpose, is now leaving. And their hearts are troubled. And if we're honest, I reckon we all know what that kind of feels like. We live in a world that at times can feel uncertain, where we're full of anxiety. And even as Christians, we can feel abandoned, vulnerable, unsure whether we're going to make it to the end due to the hardships that we might be experiencing. This morning, Jesus speaks directly into that place of fear. And in these 17 verses that Anthony just read for us, well, Jesus provides not a superficial pep talk, but a permanent solution. And it's here we're introduced to the Holy Spirit. And Jesus shows us that, well, in his physical absence, we are actually not abandoned. Rather, it's through the Holy Spirit that we are actually equipped for life that's more deeper than we can possibly imagine. Now, this morning, we're going to look at the Holy Spirit. And you might think, the Holy Spirit might be more like that acquaintance that you don't know so well because you may not have heard that many sermons about him. Or you could be on the other side of things where you've come from a church tradition where the Holy Spirit's all they ever talk about. This morning, let me introduce you to the third person of the Godhead through the words of Jesus here in John chapter 14. And as we look at today's passage, we're going to see three things about the Holy Spirit. Firstly, we're going to see the provision of the helper, the presence of the teacher, and the peace of the comforter. But let's look at our first point, the provision of the helper. Now, given the state in which the disciples were in that night, Jesus knew that they wouldn't be able to keep going as the disciples in their own strength. And so it's within this context that Jesus now promises to give them the Holy Spirit to keep them going. Please listen again to what Jesus said in verses 15 and 16. Jesus says these words, "If you love me, keep my commands. And I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever." Now, Jesus firstly makes a statement here that if you're going to show that you're my disciples, you're going to show it through obedience. And this is an important thing for us to remember because, well, Jesus repeats this idea two more times in our passage. We see it in verse 21, and we see it again in verse 23. Now, please notice what Jesus does not say each time. Jesus doesn't say, "If you fear me, keep my commandments." Jesus doesn't say, "Hey, if you want to earn my favor, keep my commandments." Jesus does not say, "Hey, if you're serious enough, keep my commandments." Do you see it in the text? No, Jesus says, "If you love me." You see, this isn't cold legalism. It's actually relational faithfulness. It's actually a relationship based on love. And when you think about it, in any meaningful relationship, love expresses itself in action. For us who are parents here, now we would obey traffic laws because we've got kids in the back and we love our kids. As spouses, we make sacrifices for our partner because we love each other. Or as friends, we show up when needed because we care. You see, obedience proves love. So the commandments, they're not a burden on for us. No, rather the commandments make clear our love for God. But there's a problem. And the problem is the disciples, they're bumbling fools. They don't get it right even at the best of times. The thing is, we need to remember that we're like the disciples, and we can be bumbling fools as well. Because there are times that we will stumble. There will be times that we won't always keep Jesus' commandments consistently as well. So the bottom line for the disciples, they need help. That's the thing. We need help as well. But here's the good news. Even though Jesus says he's going away, he also says he's going to give the disciples an advocate to keep them going. And the thing is, as followers of Jesus, well, we have this advocate as well. Now, the word advocate doesn't have a direct word translated in English. And so this word advocate has multiple layers of meaning. Now, the literal word in the original is actually the word paraclete. And it's actually made up of two Greek words, which literally means to come alongside with. And as we look about how this word is used back in Bible times, this word paraclete, well, it can be seen as an advocate, that is someone who represents you, you know, who speaks on your behalf like a lawyer. Or in other places, the paraclete can be used to convey the idea of a helper, someone who comes in to support you. And there are other instances where the paraclete idea, it conveys the idea of comforting and providing relief. And the truth of the matter is, the Holy Spirit in his role as the paraclete does all those things. And in these first few verses of our passage, we see that his role in our lives, we actually see him as our helper to assist us in living the Christian life so that we may obey the commands of God, so that we might walk in step with God. It's a bit like when I taught my girls how to ride a bike. I'm sure that many of you have been there, either as the parent or as the kid who's on that bike, and you all know the process. You know, the kid gets on the bike, you get the training wheels on, you give the kid a bit of a push, and they're a bit wobbly, but they're going forward. But you then get to the point where you have to take off the training wheels. Now, as a parent, when you take the training wheels off, you don't just bring them up at the top of the hill and release them and, you know, hope for the best. And if you're that kind of parent, I'll make sure I talk to you after the service today. But you know what you normally do. Now, you kind of have your hand on the seat. Initially, they're a little bit wobbly. You're walking next to them. You're cheering them on. And when the kid is about to stack it, now you grab the seat, you grab the handlebars, and you help them stay on track. And in a similar way, the Holy Spirit does that for us. The Holy Spirit is in your life because you and I can't ride the bike of life by ourselves. And you would actually get really discouraged trying to live the Christian life in your own strength. But fortunately, God in his kindness, he knows that. And that's why he sends the Holy Spirit into our lives to steady us when we go through the wobbles of life. So the good news is, hey, you don't have to do it by yourself. The Holy Spirit is our helper. So that's our first point. Our second point is that the Holy Spirit is God's presence that teaches us. Please see verse 26. This is what Jesus says. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Now, this verse from Jesus actually gives me confidence that what we can have of the New Testament, especially the confidence we can have in the Gospels. Because those Gospel writers of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it was the Spirit who was working in them as they wrote the Gospel accounts a couple of years later, where it was the Spirit who reminded them of what Jesus said so they could record their accounts accurately. And so, while I think there is a primary application to the 11 apostles here about this verse, I think there's a secondary application for you and for me as we read the scriptures. As I came to read the Bible in my preparation for today, as you read the Bible in your personal quiet times, or as you read the Bible at a community group, or whatever context, we have to remember we're reading God's word in the presence of the ultimate author. And so, you're not reading God's word on your own. It's not like you have a letter that somebody wrote and then they left you alone. No, God is right there by his Spirit in your presence as you read. And so, in fact, everything that we learn from God's word, whether it's here at church or through your conversations that you have with other people, now the reason we've actually learned it is actually because of the Holy Spirit. So you know when at that time in your community group when you go to and you get that aha moment, guess who's providing the aha moment? It's the Holy Spirit. Because he's the one who opens our eyes. He's the one who grants us understanding in his word. But not only that, it's the Holy Spirit that actually works in our lives to actually bring about the change in our lives as we read God's word together. So as the Holy Spirit helps you grow in your understanding in his word, he's the one who will change your heart. He's the one who will change your mind. And slowly but surely, he will actually change our lives from the inside out. That's the second thing the Holy Spirit does for us. The third thing we learn from this passage about the Holy Spirit is that he is the peace that comforts us. Please read verse 27 with me. Jesus says this: "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Now, this peace that Jesus promises is actually made possible through the Spirit. Because as Jesus says earlier in this passage in verse 16, the Spirit is with us forever. So, in contrast to Jesus' physical departure, the Spirit's presence in our lives is actually permanent. So it's by the Spirit dwelling in us that Jesus can actually say those words in verse 23, that he and the Father will make their home with us, because the Spirit is the presence of the absent Jesus, absent Jesus physically. So because we have the Holy Spirit in us, we can actually have a deep and ongoing peace. And this is good news for you and for me, because we've got to recognize there's no place where you can go where the Spirit of God will not go with you. There's actually no circumstance that we face that we actually face alone. We actually got to recognize there actually is no pain that we suffer that God is not aware about. So whether at work, or whether it's medical treatment you're having, whether you're facing sadness, the Holy Spirit is God's personal companion who actually walks through life with us. And notice again in verse 27, the peace that Jesus gives us via the Spirit, it's not like how the world gives. You see, the world's peace is circumstantial, it's temporary. The world says that you'll have peace when the bills are paid, when the kids are behaving, and when your health report is clear. But we've got to recognize that's actually a fragile peace, which can break the moment those things change or something else goes wrong. However, Jesus' peace is much deeper than the world's peace. It's not temporary. the peace of Jesus is the settled reality that we have the paraclete within us through all that we go through, and it's that assurance that our hearts don't have to be troubled, that we don't actually have to be afraid, because the Spirit gives us that supernatural, settled confidence that we are in the Father's love and that we're in the Father's control, despite the circumstances that we might be experiencing. So there you have it, three aspects of what we learn about the Holy Spirit: that He is our helper, that He is our teacher, and that He is our comfort. And so this week, I want to encourage you guys to actually pray for the Holy Spirit to work in your life. And actually got a suggested prayer for you, and this is the prayer. Let me show you. It's actually, Holy Spirit, act. Now, you notice the word act there is actually arranged like an acrostic. So the prayer I want you to pray is to pray to the Spirit to assist, to comfort, and to teach. So let me encourage you to pray, Holy Spirit, assist me. We have to acknowledge as we look at this passage, you can't do the Christian life by yourself. We need the Holy Spirit to live and for us to live and flourish in the way God intends. And so some of you here this morning, you might actually be wrestling with things that no one else here knows about. You might have a secret addiction. You might be harboring bitterness. You might have some mental health challenges. And just all these things just might be weighing you down. I want to tell you this morning, you cannot go through those things yourself. Please remember, the one who's next to you on your bike will hold your seat when you can't steer. That is the Holy Spirit. So I encourage you today to ask Him to assist you in as you live your Christian life. Don't try to do life by yourself. Secondly, I encourage you to pray, Holy Spirit, comfort me. There are times when we actually go through our journey, you know, sometimes things are fine, you know, you feel like the bike is going in the right direction, but I reckon you know there's times in life, you know things that happen in our church families, you know, life can be difficult and painful. And the thing is, the thing we have to remember, the Holy Spirit, He knows our weaknesses. And so He invites us to entrust ourselves to Him. Please listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 8 about the Spirit. This is what Paul says. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. This morning, you might actually feel whatever you're going through, you might not be even able to pray, and all you can do is groan. I want to encourage you today, in your moments of weakness, to know that the Spirit knows. He actually offers to take your pain to the Lord. He wants to intercede on your behalf. And so if you're here and you're needing comfort, whatever's happening to you right now, can I say, you're not here this morning in this building by chance, because the Holy Spirit wants to teach you to come to Him for comfort. So please, let me encourage you to pray for the Spirit to comfort you. Lastly, let me encourage you to pray for the Holy Spirit to teach you. Navigating our world is pretty difficult at the best of times. And so how we're to do it in a way that honors God and how we're going to do it as followers of Jesus to do it well, we need the Holy Spirit's help as we keep learning and understanding God's word together. And so let me encourage you to pray so that the Spirit can change your heart, can change your will as you learn from His word. But knowing that, pray that the Holy Spirit may actually give you and teach you wisdom that's derived from God's word, to actually get his help to apply that wisdom to your lives, whether you're making the big decisions in life or you're just working through those difficult challenges that you're facing. You see, we never graduate from the school of discipleship. And so there's always areas for us to keep growing in. And so I encourage you to pray this morning, Holy Spirit, teach me so that I may live a life that pleases you. I hope this morning you can see that the Holy Spirit is actually an integral part of your life. He's the one who wants to help you. He's the one who wants to teach you. He wants to comfort you. And if we let him, he'll do that this week and every week as we live our lives for the Lord Jesus. Well, let me pray now for the Spirit to do that for us right now. Would you please join me as I pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great gift of your Holy Spirit, that he is our helper, our teacher, and our comforter. We thank you that in Jesus we are never abandoned, that we're never left to fend for ourselves, and that we're never asked to walk this life alone. And so we pray that you'll forgive us for those times when we try to live life our own way. So Holy Spirit, we ask that you will assist us this week to obey Jesus out of love, not out of duty or fear. We pray that the Holy Lord, that the Holy Spirit may comfort us, especially for those of us who are carrying heavy burdens this morning. We pray for those who may be grieving, for the anxious or the weary, or for those who are hurting. Please surround them with your deep and lasting peace. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you will teach us as we open your word. Give us understanding. Please soften our hearts. Please grow us in wisdom so we may live our lives that reflect the character of Jesus. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.